Article has everything you need to turn your bedroom into your best room, all for a great price. Article is the easiest way to make your space look gorgeous. I love Article. I have several items from Article before they were ever even sponsors. I got my whole dining room set from them. So inexpensive and my favorite furniture in the house. Article's offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim, visit article.com/Sarah and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article/Sarah for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. Hi, everyone. It's your friend, Sarah Silverman. And, you know, it's interesting. I don't know how to start this, but we have so many family WhatsApps. We've got Silverman United, like of all of us, we've got just the sisters. And in our sisters one, we were talking about one of my sisters was like, I'm feeling depression creeping in and I don't want it to happen. And I've been feeling kind of that way a little bit too. And, you know, I saw this video got in my feed and it made me so filled with rage on Twitter. And Rory was like, just don't be on Twitter then. And I go, well, it's a little bit my job to be aware of what's going on, you know, but it's hard to find a balance. And my sister was like, she had just gone back on Twitter after not being on it for like 2 years. And she's like, oh God, that's probably what it is, because fuck, man. I mean, this isn't news, but the world is closing in on us, and it's really scary. It's just, you know, like I started watching the new season of Handmaid's Tale, and I was like, I can't do this. I mean, it's brilliant, and I am going to do it, but it's just, I need to be in such a solid place because it's just getting to be less and less of a piece of fiction where I can watch and go, oh, it's not real, it's not real. No, it's real. So anyway, this video got into my feed, and I go, who is this guy? And I look, and I had muted him a long time ago, but somehow through other ways, I saw this video. I don't know when it's from, and I'm not going to say his name because I don't want to give him any publicity, but he's got a couple million followers. I don't know who the fuck this guy is, but he's a scumbag. And it's a clip of him on his podcast, just talking, just giggling with his bros and talking about rape.
I mean, it's terrible. I'm against it, but...
And just saying how it's always the purple-haired lesbian feminist that accuses someone of rape. It's never someone hot. It's never a Victoria's Secret model. And they're all laughing and agreeing. And it's just, you know, and then I become the humorless person they probably see people like me as, because I'm filled with rage, so triggered, you know, that's the word, so fucking triggered. It just, the guy is so ignorant and so arrogant and powerful that it makes me want to punch. It just makes me want to go fucking Rambo, you know, in this time where women are dying because they no longer have control or autonomy over their bodies. And it's just, they're laughing. And it caused me to have very dark thoughts and violent thoughts. And, you know, I imagined like a movie. This would be a great movie, you know, like this video, you see this video and then, ooh, you know, he gets kidnapped and tied to a chair and watches his video, you know, cut in with videos of, I don't know, just heinous, what rape is. And he has to watch, mirrored box, can't keep eyes peeled open. Then maybe he gets raped. This is terrible. I can't believe I'm saying this out loud, but this is where my mind went. He gets raped. Because it is an act of violence, isn't it? You don't pick someone hot. It's not about that. It's not about attraction. He gets raped. Then he gets... what is it when they put it over your nose and you fall asleep?
Chloroform?
Then he gets chloroformed, put back into his house. Maybe he tries to heal without going to the hospital. But you know what? Something's wrong. He has to go to the hospital. He has to say he was raped. He meets a woman who works with rape victims and helps him through this. And then you really kind of almost root for him to get better and cope and get through this. And then the woman is the one who fucking kidnapped him. Boom! That's the movie. I don't know. This just helped me process how angry I was. Ugh. But this guy, I watch this and then I want him to, you know, this is very human to want someone to feel the pain they're causing in you. And I want him to feel it. But, you know, the truth is he probably does. He's weak that he has to pick on raped people. You know? I have to believe he is in some kind of pain. He's weak. He's insecure and pathetic. Maybe I have to believe that to make myself feel better. It doesn't make me feel better. He's dangerous. He's an empowering a kind of, you know, he's another, the way Jordan Peterson is the hero of incels, so is this guy. Makes them feel like it's not us. It's them. We're going to laugh at them. Eh, yuck. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm telling you about a video that I'm not saying who it is, so you can't reference it, and you don't, and it doesn't make sense that, but even I showed it to Rory, and I was relieved that he was wildly angry and disturbed by it. But boy, it gets in my bones where I can't shake it. And then I feel bad because Rory gets some of that rage, you know, where I say something and he goes, oh, that's okay. And I go, oh, is that okay? You know, it's like the poor guy. He's just a person that loves me. He's not the enemy. But oh boy. Yeah. All right.
You left me a message. Now I'm playing it for the world. Let's hear some voicemails.
Hi, Sarah. I just want to tell you that I loved your play. It was truly a beautiful and funny experience. I loved the whole cast.
Aww.
And I hope to see it one day again. I just have a quick question about handling the Let's Go Brandon people, the ones who look like babies throwing a temper tantrum. My brothers, wife's sisters, and brother-in-law are those kind of people. And the worst part is they are first-generation children of Soviet Jewish refugees.
Yeah.
I only see them at family functions, and I see their dumb hats and hear about their woke Facebook algorithm problems, but I usually avoid them. We have growing children in the mix, and I feel like having my kids near them almost normalizes their stupid behavior. By simply being there, I feel like I'm tolerating it, and as Jon Stewart so eloquently put, censoring myself while comforting their ignorance. My question is, what is your advice in how to handle these people? Do I just ignore them? What would you do?
Well, you got to see them at family events, right? That's just going to happen. That's what is. The good news is you only have to see them at family events. Fighting with them, even arguing with them, it's pointless. You're not going to change their minds. They're not going to be open to it. Ugh, hate that they're Jewish. It's just like so bad for the Jews. But yeah, fighting with them will just be fruitless. I don't know how old your kids are, but you're going to have to raise them to understand and deal with this shit as you yourself are learning to. you know, it's kind of new stuff in a, as old as time as it is. But your family is a real microcosm of our broader world. You've got some built-in training wheels for them here. This is your chance to teach them the difference between critical thinking and blind faith, between, you know, the power of fear and hatred and the power of love, the difference between fact and fiction, the inconvenient truth and magical thinking. So, you know, it sucks and it's scary, but you're just going to have to teach them to live in this world and why you're not arguing with them and why you can still love them as part of your family, because they love their kids and they love your kids, and but that there are differences. I don't know. It's real tough. It's a real needle to thread there, but good luck. What else?
Here's some ads.
Manscaped. Weird that they call it Manscaped, like it's in the past, Manscaped. But hey, they're the pros. They know what they're doing. Holidays came early this year, ladies. If you're still not sure what to get the man in your life, then look no further than our friends at Manscaped. The leading men's hygiene brand just launched new products that your man will actually use, including their new shower time favorite, the Body Buffer. It's time to give the man in your life the gift of smooth balls and a good shower time experience this holiday season. Get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com/silverman. I mean, listen, I love Manscaped. That's the point. But it is so silly. You know, I use it. I use it on my bush. Obviously, it's the same thing as a peanut. It's just that they got to call it man something so that men will buy it. But, you know, we have the same things. There isn't something specific to like balls and a penis on it, but it is awesome. So you can get it for your man. He'll use it. And you use it too. Inside the Performance Package 4.0, you'll find the Signature Lawnmower 4.0. This electric trimmer has proprietary advanced skin-safe technology. It's also waterproof, so he can use it in the shower. It's like a gift to yourself with less mess. Yeah, I just used Rory's Manscaped. Tis the season to load up on Manscaped products. So get your man, your dad, your brother, your sister, your everybody, and friends the best gift of all, the Manscaped Performance Package 4.0. Manscaped also just launched their new body buffer. This 100% antibacterial body scrubber is just what he needs to keep him fresh and clean this holiday season. Every guy has Manscaped on their wish list. Get him products he'll actually use this holiday season. Get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com/silverman. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com/silverman. Get your man a gift you'll both enjoy, the gift of Manscaped. We have Manscaped, Rory and I, and he uses it for all his man parts, and I use it on my bush. So, you know, they market it to men, and it's probably smart. It works for them. They are fantastic, Manscaped, but make no mistake, you can use it on your bush. I mean, your pussy, your vagina one. Anyway, gift your man Manscaped this holiday season so his tree stands taller, if you know what I mean. Oh, because he's like trimming down his bush and his penis looks bigger. Help him join the 6 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and save 20% off plus free shipping by going to manscaped.com/silverman. And guess what? Manscaped just launched the Body Buffer, perfect addition to his shower routine to use with his refined body wash. Get 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com/silverman. That's 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com/silverman. I do love it. Get him the best gift of all from Manscaped. His balls will thank you. With Masterclass, you can learn from the world's best minds anytime, anywhere, and at your own pace. You can learn how to write your own song from John Legend. You can improve your culinary skills with Gordon Ramsay or learn about impactful giving from Melinda French Gates. With over 180 classes from a range of world-class instructors, that thing you've always wanted to do is closer than you think. I love Masterclass. I've given it out as Christmas gifts
which is, it's the best Christmas gift because it's just the gift of knowledge and it's something that they can control, what they're watching, who they're watching. Last year, I got Masterclass for my niece, Aliza, and got one for myself on the way. Every time I log on to Masterclass, there seems to be some new, amazing, world-renowned instructor. Some of the ones I recently saw on there, they've got John Douglas, who teaches how to think like an FBI profiler, which I'm very excited about. Madeleine Albright and Condoleezza Rice teach diplomacy. Roy Choi teaches intuitive cooking. There's over 100 exclusive classes taught by instructors you know and love in cinema quality classes that give you unparalleled access to renowned instructors. In addition to video lessons, Masterclass classes provide you with downloadable lesson recaps and supplemental materials. For example, cooking classes come with beautiful downloadable guides that are at the level of like a high-end cookbook. And to make it even more convenient for you, Masterclass is accessible on your phone, web, or smart TV. Gone are the days where you can only learn inside a classroom. I highly recommend you check it out. This holiday, give one annual membership and get one for free. That's what I did last year. Go to masterclass.com/Sarah today. That's masterclass.com/Sarah. Terms apply.
And we're back.
Hi, Sarah. This is Naomi calling you from Tel Aviv, Israel. Love the podcast. I listen to it literally every week. I wanted to drop like a controversial opinion and hear your thoughts on it. So I really understand like the message of the thought positivity movement, but I really resent it. And I don't believe in the message. So my mom died when I was 17 because she was morbidly obese. She was bedridden basically my entire life. And it was really like difficult for me growing up. And so I understand the message of the fat positivity movement, like love yourself and beauty at every size and blah, 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 blah. But like, I think people don't understand. I don't appreciate this like healthy at every size. That's not real. That doesn't exist. There are real serious consequences of being overweight. It affects not only you, but your family, your children, your siblings, people who love you. There are real dangerous effects. And I noticed that a lot of the people in this movement are very young. And so I think maybe there's a possibility that they just haven't dealt with the real consequences, especially as they get older. Like they're going to have arthritis and all kinds of really serious health problems. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? Just like, because I feel like it's an opinion that I would not voice, honestly, like in real life.
You know, this is tricky. I hear what you're saying because you have such a deeply, deeply personal connection to the mortal dangers of obesity that you would feel this very strongly. But I also think that there are plenty of fat people who are not unhealthy, and that this is gray area. You know, your mother was morbidly obese. She was bedridden. I don't think people are saying that that is healthy, but I think just being able to point at a fat person and say, you're not healthy is also not healthy to do. You're talking about the extremes and your experiences with an extreme, you know, just like in religion or politics. You know, it's like the extreme of any religion, the fundamentalist sects of any religion is quote unquote unhealthy. It's like bananas, you know? So you're kind of talking about two different things a little bit more than you think, is what I think. There are people with fat bodies that eat well and exercise. And I think what this is countering, this movement is countering, is just to gaze your eyes on a person of size and decide how they live and have a preconceived perception of how they live and judge them by that when it isn't necessarily the case at all. And I think that's what it's fighting. You know what I mean? The notion that fat people are often treated as less than, as comic foils in our society, especially women. That's what's being combated. You know, think of alcoholism. We know now that that's a disease. But before that was something that we understood, we treated these people differently. Also, you know, there are people that drink that do not have a problem at all with drinking. So there are all these shades. This there's a spectrum. You know, this spectrum might be true for weight. You know, I know fat dancers that are amazing dancers that eat the same as someone who may be thin. By the way, there are thin people that are very unhealthy in terms of what they're putting in their bodies and stuff. So it's, I think it's, you're coming from a very personal place where I really hear you, but for you to generalize isn't the answer. You can talk specifically about your mother's situation and the situation of people who are bedridden from obesity. But just talking about fat people, people of size in general, isn't helping anything, I think. You know, I know fat people who are extremely healthy. I know fat people that are absolutely killing themselves, and it's heartbreaking to watch. So just like with all types of peoples and all sorts of body shapes or all sorts of anything, there is a very wide spectrum. You know, fat, like Jew or Black person or a zillion other categories of people, are not a monolith. Sorry, and I understand this is complicated, and good luck. What else?
Hey, Sarah, this is Caroline calling from Philly. I wanted to ask you if you'd seen the documentary Keep This Between Us that's on Hulu. I don't know if it's fairly recent. I think it just came out this year, but it covers the experience of a couple different women, and one in particular who is heading the documentary, about inappropriate relationships with teachers and the kind of grooming and predatory like process of those male-female inappropriate relationships. I never had an inappropriate relationship with a teacher, but I did have what I realized now was inappropriate relationships with men that were a lot older than me, like 16, 25, 17, 27, 19, 40. And the way that these women were describing those experiences, it kind of occurred to me that I'd been raped a lot more than I thought, which one seems enough to deal with for the rest of your life. But I just wanted to see if you'd seen that documentary or had spoken to any other women who'd gone through the grooming process of an older man or older person. All right. Love the show. Thanks so much.
Thank you for calling in. I haven't seen that documentary, but yeah, I think that that realization is happening to a lot of us. I would venture to bet there are older men as well who are coming to realize, if they allow themselves to, that they have been part of this culture, a big part of this culture, the main part of this culture. There are groomers, of course, but some of them do not realize they are groomers. Probably most groomers don't, but they're going to need to. What I'm saying is, I'm just remembering that we were raised in a society that encouraged this shit. You know, remember 16 candles? I mean, like when the passed out popular girl gets raped by a bunch of nerds and we're all like, yeah, because she's got it coming. She's like a partier. Do you see what she's wearing? She's, you know, she's asking for it because she drinks. And so many, I mean, that was a teenage, you know, we all loved it. Tons of those movies, Animal House, and it was glorified in so many movies for all of us growing up that we didn't know, nothing was called date rape. Rape was something that happened like in a dark alley by a stranger. There are a lot of very interesting pieces written about this, especially around Supreme Court Judge Brett Kavanaugh. But yeah, the much more common rape by someone you know was always considered boys being boys or boys having fun. You know, that's how I grew up into adulthood with that, and so many of us. I'm sorry for what you've been through. and what you're realizing now you've been through. I think we all are. I know I am. I can't imagine there is a woman who has not been sexually assaulted in some way. I don't know if that's just because of my experiences, but I'd be shocked to find a grown woman who has not been sexually assaulted at some point and at some party or two or three or otherwise. Maybe that's fucked up of me, but I can't imagine there's a woman who has not been in some way sexually assaulted. Maybe, I don't know. Is that insane? So we got to protect each other, protect the young women that come after us, though they are seemingly very capable of protecting themselves, God bless, and make sure we raise the next generations of boys and girls and otherwise, not just to know the difference between right and wrong, but to take care of each other, to see humanity as one family. What else?
Hey, Sarah, from Denmark.
Hey!
You are the bravest and most beautiful soul ever. I have written a book called 80% of Everything is Shit. And the amazing Doug Stanhope wrote the foreword for my book.
Ugh, I love
and
him.
I love that you wrote the foreword for your own amazing book.
I did, because I can't bear asking anyone.
I would like to hear your thoughts on the main thesis in my book, if you have time. My grandparents and great-grandparents' generation had about 70% less personal freedom than my generation has had. So what did they use their very little personal freedom for? They created a welfare society where future people would have the opportunity to have more personal freedom. So what do we modern people use this gift of freedom for? You know, we hoard even more freedom for ourselves. You only live once, full speed ahead. Fuck the climate. Why doesn't great personal freedom and spoiledness make people want to help others and make the future world even better? Because the great personal freedom and spoiledness turn off your ability to empathize while you constantly expect other people to understand you. Take care.
All right. Well, there's a whole lot there. Very interesting. Very true if you generalize. I mean, but yeah, for every swath of narcissistic, blinded by self, but with no self-worth, groups of people there are people organizing and working to help others. Often people they don't even know personally. For every help themselfer, often of the boomer generation and modern derivatives of, there are helpers. But to your point, yeah, you had a generation bent on making life easier and freer and kinder for the generations who came after. We're having a little trouble with that ourselves here. We have a lot of arrested development, ironically, often in people who have power. Why? Because they're filling an unfillable hole with stuff and things and money. And there is no happy ending for that other than you can gain great power doing that. Because money equals power in a capitalistic society, right? These are people who only look outward. They're not looking inward. You know, they get their self-worth from seeing what others have and don't have and having more than what others have. They don't look inward, so their power doesn't nourish them. It's all empty calories. But there are helpers. Always look for the helpers, like Mr. Rogers says, because there are. There are people who care. There are people who want things to be better for future generations. But yeah, those in power are mostly not them. So you got to organize. But wanting to only support your theory is making you see very narrowly. Narrowly? Is that a word? I don't know. What else?
Here's some ads. Stitch Fix, baby. We've all been there. Staring at your closet and saying to yourself, I have nothing to wear. I have nothing to wear. Well, now you can have Stitch Fix refresh your wardrobe just in time for fall. I've used Stitch Fix. I liked it. Amy's V, my manager, uses Stitch Fix. She loves it. Stitch Fix is the best way to discover new styles and brands just for you. Think of Stitch Fix as your style partner. Your stylist will learn about your tastes and collaborate with you on looks that you love. All you have to do is answer a few questions about where you typically shop, what you like to wear, your price range. With your choices in mind and a wide range of sizes available from XS to 3XL, they'll find you your perfect fit. They got you covered with over 1,000 brands and styles. Try your pieces at home before you buy. Just keep what you love and send back the rest. Plus, shipping, returns, and exchanges are always free. There is no subscription required. Simply order a refresh as needed or set it and forget it with regular seasonal fixes. You are in control. Right now, Stitch Fix is offering my listeners $20 off their first fix at stitchfix.com/Sarah. That's stitchfix.com/Sarah for $20 off today. stitchfix.com/Sarah. Definite articles. I'm wearing a hoodie by them right now. It's got awesome pockets that zip. It's got a high collar for wind. It's got a hoodie. It's got hidden pockets, which I always like. Definite Articles designs performance wear for the planet in mind and is creating a new era of truly sustainable performance fashion. Their goal? To help solve the planet's plastic problem by changing how performance wear is made. Because the planet is drowning in plastic, the last thing it needs is more clothes made with plastics that stick around for centuries. You might not know it, but synthetic yarns give workout clothes their support and their stretch, you know, that you want. But those tiny bits of plastic leak into our food and our water supply, polluting our planet for centuries. The brand pairs smart design with premium materials and spins in a natural additive that helps the synthetic yarns in its performance wear decompose in just a few years, not a few centuries. Think of it as like a magic trick or a science experiment on speed, transforming plastic into soil. Take my new DA hoodie. It's made in New York City. It's biodegradable, except for the zipper, and removes 27 plastic bottles from the planet. It looks amazing on, by the way. Huh? What? Hello. This holiday season, give the gift of planet-loving performance. Go to definitearticles.com and use the promo code Sarah for 20% off because it's time to change the game. DefiniteArticles.com, promo code Sarah.
And we're back.
Hey, Sarah, it's Caitlin. I'm 25 years old. I love your work. I love your podcast. I love just how it makes me smile and laugh and also brings clarity to different subjects that I find interesting. So thank you for that. My question is I recently started dating this guy and he took me home to meet his parents. Went really well. He said that I did a great job and he was super impressed with my introductory to his family. He's a big family guy, so I know this was super important to him. But we were driving back and his sister was with us and she put on a Cardi B song. And I just told her, hey, I know Cardi B. I worked with her at a strip club in New York City, which is a true story. I was an exotic dancer. And, you know, I really didn't see the big deal because I'm just kind of an open book. And when we got back, my boyfriend explained to me that he loves that I'm such an honest person and so open, but I should not have told his sister that I was a stripper, because if his mother found that out, then I would never be allowed in their house again.
What?
This guy is wonderful. Our humor is just like in sync. Our personalities are just go really well together. And his family too. I felt instantly connected and just like I fit in. In that I could be myself around them more than any other significant other's family that I've met in the past. I'm just curious your thoughts on this. You know, I like to just be free and open, and I don't like hiding any parts of myself, even if they're, I guess, slightly inappropriate. Appropriate in some people's eyes. Anyways, thank you so much. Bye.
Thanks for calling. You know, I think you already know this, but you have absolutely nothing to be ashamed of.
You have every right to not be okay with hiding this or any part of yourself or your history for his family, for him, or for anyone. It's also okay to not mention this part of you to his family if it doesn't irk you to do so, but it irks me a little. That said, now they know you, now they love you, and I don't think you should have to hide any part of yourself for them or for anyone. I also happen to think he may be underestimating his family. They already love you. They're going to love you for all your parts. And if they don't, that's not your fault. You know? Either way, you are the sum of all of your parts. And that's fantastic. That's what makes you beautiful. That's what makes us beautiful. It's funny because what are the chances the men in that family have never been inside a strip club? Zero. And yet they are not in any way shunned or told not to mention parts of themselves. Even if it was, if there was a male, you know, a sister who was dating someone who used to be a Chippendales dancer, they would think that was so fun and funny. Yeah, I call bullshit. But as long as your boyfriend knows this is bullshit, total sexist hypocrisy, and that this decision about hiding this part of you from his family is your choice entirely, that's what's most important. You know, I always say, like, you know, it's his family who cares if you're just like omitting something to make his life easier. But I also just don't like the idea of having any shame around any part of who you are. I mean, that's absurd. Maybe you're happy to do this for him and that's fine, but be mindful of otherwise contorting yourself for his comfort. I guess that's what I would say. And good luck, and I'm glad you called in. What else?
Hi, Sarah. My name is Art. I live in Southern California, suburban Orange County. You know, during this whole Trump era, I've started to realize that many of my friends feel they could say the most just horrible things. I'm Mexican, and when the whole border thing was going on, I literally had somebody say to me at one point, "Well, you're not that kind of Mexican." Just blew my mind, you know?
Yeah.
I don't speak Spanish. Like I said, I grew up in suburban Orange County. And then some of my men friends feel that I'm seeing how misogynistic they actually are. Because when I was like, from the time I was 10, the first real adult role model that I had was a lesbian feminist, who was my eldest sister. She came out in 1971. So, you know, it's very strange the way people today feel like they say the most horrendous things. And sometimes it gets me down. I'm wondering, you know, if you experienced that in your life dealing with your ethnicity, because you've been, obviously you've been vocal about all that. I'm just wondering what you think, because sometimes it just makes me really bummed out.
Art, I don't know why I'm moved to say this, but I love you so much. Yeah. What you're noticing is a brazen cultural shift that is not unfamiliar if you were to read something maybe like Facing History and Ourselves. And it's real scary. I mean, you just being you and noticing this stuff is huge, actually. Pointing it out as much as possible, and whenever you see it, even better. And thank you for that. You know, these people are fucking around and finding out. And unfortunately, what they're finding out is there are no consequences for their racism and sexism, pretty much. Their hatred is just totally validated because ignorant people are feeling real powerful. Why? Because the GOP are recruiting the ignorant into their hate group. And, they paint the educated as elite to harness all this ignorance into their own power. There are caravans of Mexicans coming to take your jobs and women. was a real emergency at one point when certain Republicans needed votes. It was very easy to sell a bunch of sell that to a bunch of struggling white people who needed a scapegoat. It's always that way. Trust me, Jews are familiar with this shit. An invented problem that only they can solve, so you must give them power to solve it. So where are all the caravans? Where did they go? As soon as they didn't need them anymore, they all of a sudden they disappeared. What do you know? Once they got Trump the power he and the GOP wanted, they could go back to not existing. Right. Where's the wall we needed so badly? That wall that they raised millions and millions and millions of dollars for that was partially constructed and then left undone. It's just all bullshit to get the GOP in power so they can do what? Fucking nothing. The one thing that all these people in the GOP have in common, all these politicians, is that they've completely forgotten to even pretend to serve their constituents. No part of what they do is serving the people they represent. It's just bizarre. So what can they do with all that power? Take women's rights away. Take LGBTQ rights away. Call their anti-trans rhetoric protecting children. And on and on and on. I mean, Madonna me. Keep up the good fight. The fight of education, information, caring about what is true. You are in a very conspiracy-heavy part of Cali, by the way, but just know you are extremely not alone. And thanks for calling in. What else?
Hi, Sarah. I don't want to drop a bunch of info on myself right now, but you can call me Deb if you choose to call me anything.
All right, Deb.
So I am 26 years old. 3 years ago, my mom dropped some information on me. I come from like a divorced family. She and my dad were married for, I don't know, 15 years, had me and my sister, my brother, and then me, and then got divorced when I was 5. And she just told me that when they were married, she had an affair and got pregnant with me. So I am only technically a half sibling to my siblings. I chose to not really know anything about the guy because she told me that he's a bachelor, didn't try to help or want to have anything to really do with me when she got pregnant. And I was totally okay with that. I still am but right now I'm on the fence, kind of, because I have 2 daughters of my own. And now I look at their features and I'm kind of like, oh God, is that from like my biological dad? Also, like, what if I have half siblings somewhere or there's important, you know, family information that I should have, like, medically? I don't know what to do. What would you do in this situation? Because I feel like I'll just do what you would do.
I'd want to know everything I could about him personally. So, I mean, obviously this is a very personal situation and a very personal decision that you got to make for yourself. But I'd want to meet him. I'd definitely Google the fuck out of him. I'd want to know everything there is to know about him. I'd want to know his medical history. I'd absolutely want to know if I had half siblings out there. My best friend from high school was adopted. Different situation. All she knew of her parents was her mother was from France, her father was from Nigeria. They were in Ohio at a college, and she got pregnant, and they were young, and they gave her up for adoption. Well, all these years later, she was contacted by half siblings. These two people who were foreign exchange students that got pregnant and had her and gave her up for adoption ended up staying together, getting married, and having more kids. She had no idea until they found her. And it's unlocked an unbelievable treasure trove about her medical history. You know, she's got some medical issues that she had no context for, and now she does. And it's been incredibly helpful. And she has these beautiful relationships with her half-siblings now as adults. That's just a similar scenario I'm throwing at you, but you got to do what you want to do. I would be curious. You looking at your children and saying, oh God, are those features of his in them? They're features of yours. They're half you. But who makes up you and what makes up you? There are more elements to that. And you might want to check it out. I'm not saying he's your dad. You're like, the people who raised you are your parents. But yeah, I think that so much of adulthood is being a detective and figuring out your life and what's affected you and what's a part of you and seeing that in new ways and getting all the information that you can. So if you would do what I would do, I would say, look into him. Information is good. Good luck. I want to hear how it turns out. All right. What else?
Hey, Sarah Silverman. So I have a question for you. I've been thinking about posing it to you for a while. So here it is. I will have been married 20 years next October. And four amazing, wonderful women stood up for me, bridesmaids and my maid of honor, India, Hannah, Mandy, and Kathy. And I wanted to get them something ahead of time as bridesmaids gifts. And then I thought, well, you know, maybe I'll get something on my honeymoon. And then my honeymoon came and went and didn't get them anything. And every year, you know, as my anniversary approaches, I think of them and how grateful I am to have them in my life and that they did this wonderful thing for me, and just haven't been able to think of the right thing. I have this thing with giving gifts. I want it to be like amazing and super important and have all sorts of meaning. And then I build it into something so big and overwhelming that it just is too much. And then I don't do anything. So it's always been an issue, but particularly for this situation. So if you have any thoughts, thank you. I adore you. I'll be thinking of you in your surgery. Hope it goes well.
Thank you. Boy, it seems so simple. Like, just send them a thank you note. Send them a gift. But God, I totally understand. Like, I do this too. I'm terrible at thank you notes and thank you gifts and stuff. Terrible. But I will tell you, it's not too late. And play this for them, because you checked them all by name and you really expressed the entire gamut of how you feel around it. So play this for them. You mentioned all their names: India, Hannah. I forgot the other two. I was really going to try to remember. Kathy and somebody else. But it's not too late. As a matter of fact, like, I feel like it will be extra special for them to get a note from you or a gift thanking them now. Like, the fact that you not thanking them has caused you to think of them on every anniversary you have is so sweet. Put that funny, heartwarming fact into a note and send it to them, like notes to all four of them. Do it. Just do it. Don't let you wanting it to be perfect paralyze you into not being as grateful as you are. A simple, you know, hey, after all these years, I just want to say thank you. You know, every anniversary, I think about how I didn't send you a gift, and I just appreciate you standing for me, you know, standing with me on my very special day, and, you know, just play them this. She's really grateful, you guys. Hannah, Kathy, India, and the fourth one. I'm really proud of myself for even remembering three. It's time to say goodbye. Dad, we're winding down. I'm saying goodbye. We're wrapping up. And this is when I say subscribe, rate, and review wherever you listen to podcasts, and check us out on YouTube if you like watching with your eyeballs. Bye.
Hey.
Hey, I wanna.
Hey.
Bye.
Hey, ya fucker.